Empire of the Veil. Chapter 1. A King Falls. The early morning sun bathed the streets of Harlem in an amber hue, but the usual rhythm of life in the bustling neighborhood was subdued. News of Elijah King Daniel's death had spread like wildfire, casting a pall over the community he both protected and ruled. For years, Daniels had been more than a mob boss. He was Harlem's beating heart, an iron fist in a velvet glove who balanced power and compassion in equal measure. But now, that heart had stopped. Marcus Bishop stood in the back corner of the packed church, his broad shoulders hunched beneath the tailored black suit. The air inside was heavy with grief and whispered conversations. The congregation filled every pew, spilling into the aisles and out onto the steps. Elijah's open casket sat at the front, framed by floral arrangements that seemed to scream luxury. Deep crimson roses and white lilies, a stark contrast to the lives most attendees lived. Marcus hadn't planned to speak, but when the pastor invited anyone to share their memories, he felt a pull he couldn't ignore. As he walked to the pulpit, the crowd quieted, eyes shifting to the man who had always been at King's side. "Elijah Daniels wasn't just my mentor," Marcus began, his voice steady but tinged with emotion. "He was my family. When I had nothing, he gave me everything, food, a roof, purpose. He taught me how to carry myself, how to protect my people, and how to survive in a world that doesn't want men like us to succeed." A murmur of agreement rippled through the crowd. "But Elijah didn't just teach me how to survive. He taught me how to thrive, to build something that lasts, something that gives back. And I promise you this." Marcus paused, his gaze sweeping the room. "His legacy will live on. I'll make sure of it." The applause was polite but subdued, as if the crowd doubted the promise. Marcus returned to his seat, his mind already racing. The words he spoke weren't just for show. He intended to keep that promise, no matter what it cost him. Later that evening, Marcus sat in Elijah's former office, a dimly lit room above the bustling club they had once called headquarters. The scent of cigar smoke lingered in the air, mingling with the faint notes of jazz drifting up from below. The desk, once meticulously organized by Elijah, now looked chaotic. Papers, ledgers, and maps cluttered the surface. "You sure you want to do this?" The voice belonged to Eddie Bishop, Marcus's younger brother. Lean and wiry, Eddie had always been the cautious one, a stark contrast to Marcus's boldness. Marcus leaned back in the leather chair, his sharp features illuminated by the desk lamp. "I don't have a choice. Elijah built this empire, and if I don't step up, someone else will. Someone who doesn't care about Harlem." Eddie shook his head, pacing the room. "It's not just about Harlem, Marcus. The Italians, the Corsicans, hell. Even Nicky Barnes is circling like a vulture. They'll eat you alive the second they smell blood." Marcus smirked, his confidence unshaken. "Let them try. Elijah taught me everything they know, and more. Besides, I've got a plan." The plan was ambitious, almost reckless. Elijah's empire had relied on a network of middlemen to source heroin from international suppliers. It was expensive, inefficient, and vulnerable to betrayal. Marcus intended to cut out the middlemen entirely, going straight to the source. He had heard whispers of a golden opportunity in Southeast Asia, where the Vietnam War had created a thriving black market for opium. If he could establish a direct line to the Golden Triangle, he could control not just Harlem, but the entire tri-state area. The following week, Marcus boarded a flight to Bangkok under the guise of a business trip. It was his first time leaving the country, and the journey was both thrilling and daunting. From Bangkok, he traveled north to the borderlands, where dense jungles and winding rivers concealed an illicit economy worth billions. He met with local warlords, negotiated with farmers, and eventually struck a deal that would change everything. The heroin was pure, far superior to anything sold on the streets of New York, and the price was unbeatable. Marcus arranged for the product to be smuggled back to the United States in the coffins of fallen servicemen, a grim but effective strategy that ensured the shipments would pass through customs unnoticed. Back in Harlem, Marcus wasted no time. He rebranded the product as Black Diamond, a name that conveyed both luxury and strength. The marketing worked. Within weeks, Black Diamond became the most sought-after heroin in the city. its purity and affordability, devastating the competition. Marcus's operation ran like a well-oiled machine. His brothers managed different territories, each reporting directly to him. Eddie oversaw distribution in Harlem, while their older brother, Darius, handled logistics across state lines. Marcus ensured loyalty by paying his crew well and enforcing a strict code of conduct. There were no flashy cars, no public displays of wealth. They were ghosts moving in the shadows. Despite his success, Marcus knew he was painting a target on his back. Nicky Barnes, the self-proclaimed godfather of Harlem, was furious about losing market share. The Italians were suspicious of Marcus's rapid rise, and the Corsican Mafia, whose supply chain he had disrupted, began plotting retaliation. Meanwhile, in Newark, Detective Victor Carter sat in a dingy office, poring over crime reports. Carter was a man of principle, but his integrity had cost him dearly. His fellow officers viewed him as a traitor after he turned in nearly $1 million he had found in a mobster's car. The money could have solved his mounting personal problems, alimony payments, a son he barely saw. But Carter couldn't bring himself to cross the line. "Carter?" Captain Lou Toback barked from the doorway. "Got a new assignment for you." Carter looked up, weary but curious. "We're forming a task force," Toback continued. "Biggest drug operation we've seen in years. Word is, there's a new player in Harlem, pushing something called Black Diamond. You're gonna find him and take him down." Carter nodded, his jaw tightening. He didn't know it yet, but this case would consume him, dragging him into a world darker than he had ever imagined. Marcus and Carter were on a collision course, their fates bound by ambition, loyalty, and the unforgiving streets of Harlem. As one man rose to power and the other sought justice, both would discover the price of their convictions and the lengths they were willing to go to protect what mattered most. Chapter 2. The Golden Triangle. Marcus Bishop was no stranger to risk, but the jungle roads of Southeast Asia pushed even his limits. The air was thick with humidity, insects buzzing like a relentless chorus, as his guide navigated the narrow dirt paths winding through the hills of northern Thailand. In this hidden corner of the world, nestled between Thailand, Laos, and Myanmar, lay the Golden Triangle, a lawless frontier where opium fields stretched as far as the eye could see. The trip had been arranged by an old associate of Elijah Daniels, a shadowy figure named Lin Bao. Bao was a middleman, fluent in the languages of warlords and smugglers alike. It was Bao who had secured Marcus, the meeting that could make or break his empire. If Marcus succeeded here, Black Diamond would no longer just be a name. It would become an unstoppable force. "Mr. Bishop," Bao said, breaking the silence. His English was crisp, but his tone carried the weight of caution. "The men we are about to meet are not like the Americans you know. They respect strength, but they do not forgive weakness. Speak carefully, and always keep your word." Marcus nodded, his sharp eyes scanning the dense forest around them. He had no intention of showing weakness. Elijah had taught him to read people, to gauge their desires and fears, and to use that knowledge to his advantage. This meeting would be no different. The warlord's compound was a fortress hidden in the jungle, guarded by armed men who watched their every move as they entered. Marcus felt the weight of their stares, but kept his stride steady, exuding the calm confidence of a man who belonged anywhere he chose to be. The warlord, General Samchai, sat at the head of a long table under a wooden pavilion, flanked by advisors who looked just as dangerous as the soldiers outside. "Welcome, Mr. Bishop," Samchai said, his voice gravelly but measured. "I understand you wish to do business." Marcus took a seat, meeting the general's gaze without flinching. "That's right. I'm here to make you an offer you won't refuse." Samchai's advisors exchanged glances, a flicker of amusement crossing their faces. Marcus knew they were testing him, waiting to see if the American would crack under pressure. But he didn't. He leaned forward, his voice steady and direct. "I'm offering a long-term partnership. Your product, my distribution network. I'll pay you in gold, up front, for every shipment. No middlemen, no delays. Just pure profit." Samchai raised an eyebrow, intrigued but skeptical. "And why should I trust you? Many men come here with promises, but few deliver." Marcus allowed himself a small smile. Because I don't make promises I can't keep. And because if this deal works, you'll be richer than you've ever imagined. To seal the deal, Marcus had brought a sample of what Black Diamond would become. He handed over a small pouch of pure heroin, meticulously packaged. Samchai examined it, then passed it to one of his advisors, who tested it with the precision of a chemist. The results were immediate. The advisor nodded, murmuring something in Thai. Samchai's expression softened, a glimmer of approval in his eyes. "Very well, Mr. Bishop," the general said. "You will have your partnership. But understand this, betray me, and your life will end long before you return to your Harlem." Marcus inclined his head in respect. "I wouldn't have it any other way." The return journey to New York was fraught with logistical challenges, but Marcus had planned for every contingency. Using the chaos of the Vietnam War to his advantage, he arranged for the heroin to be smuggled into the United States in the coffins of fallen servicemen. It was a grim method, but it guaranteed that customs agents wouldn't suspect a thing. By the time Marcus set foot back in Harlem, the first shipment of Black Diamond was already on its way. Back in Newark, Detective Victor Carter was sifting through an ever-growing pile of crime reports. The streets were flooded with a new heroin brand that was unlike anything the city had seen before. The addicts were younger, the overdoses more frequent, and the violence more brutal. Carter knew that whoever was behind Black Diamond wasn't just selling drugs. They were reshaping the entire underworld. "Carter," Captain Tubac's gruff voice cut through the noise of the precinct. He slammed a folder onto Carter's desk. "I've got intel on a new player in Harlem. Name's Marcus Bishop. Used to be Daniel's right-hand man. Word is, he's the brains behind Black Diamond." Carter flipped through the folder, taking in the sparse details. Marcus's name was clean, no arrests, no known criminal activity. But his connections told a different story. Carter's gut told him this was the man he'd been looking for. "What's the plan, Captain?" Carter asked. "You're going to start by building a profile. Find out who this Bishop guy is, who he works with, where his money's going." "And Carter," Tubac hesitated, lowering his voice. "Watch your back. If this guy's as smart as they say, he won't go down without a fight." In Harlem, Marcus wasted no time implementing his plan. Black Diamond hit the streets with a precision that left his competitors scrambling. Unlike the chaotic, violent operations of the past, Marcus ran his empire like a business. His dealers were disciplined, his supply chain airtight, and his product unmatched. The success of Black Diamond didn't go unnoticed. Nicky Barnes, once the undisputed king of Harlem, was furious. The Corsican Mafia, whose stranglehold on the heroin trade had been shattered, began plotting their revenge. Even the Italian mob started to take an interest in Marcus's meteoric rise. But Marcus wasn't concerned. He had spent years studying the weaknesses of his enemies, and he knew how to exploit them. His focus remained on the future, on expanding his empire, protecting his family, and ensuring that Elijah Daniel's legacy would endure. Victor Carter's investigation began to gain traction. Through a network of informants, wiretaps, and surveillance, he started to piece together the outline of Marcus's operation. But the deeper he delved, the more dangerous his mission became. Corruption ran deep, and Carter quickly realized that some of his own colleagues were on Marcus's payroll. One evening, as Carter sat alone in his office, a manila envelope was slipped under his door. Inside was a photograph of Marcus Bishop, seated at the head of a table surrounded by his brothers. Scribbled on the back were three words, "Know your enemy." Carter stared at the photograph, his jaw tightening. He didn't know who had sent it, but he understood the message. Marcus Bishop wasn't just another criminal. He was a strategist, a visionary, and a man who wouldn't hesitate to destroy anyone who stood in his way. Chapter 3, Black Diamond Rises. The streets of Harlem were alive with murmurs of a new force in the game. Black Diamond wasn't just a drug, it was a phenomenon. Addicts whispered its name in reverence, dealers scrambled to secure shipments, and rival bosses struggled to keep their operations afloat. Marcus Bishop had achieved in a matter of months what most crime lords couldn't in a lifetime dominance. From his office above the jazz club that had served as Elijah Daniels' headquarters, Marcus watched the operation unfold like a chessboard. Each piece had its place, every move meticulously calculated. The product flowed seamlessly from Thailand to Harlem, passing through channels so discreet even seasoned law enforcement officers couldn't trace its origins. But Marcus knew better than to rest on his laurels. Success brought enemies, and Harlem's underworld was teeming with them. Expansion and loyalty. The Bishop family was the backbone of Marcus's empire. His younger brother, Eddie, handled the Harlem distribution network, ensuring that the dealers operated with the efficiency and discretion Marcus demanded. Darius, the eldest brother, oversaw logistics, moving shipments across state lines, and ensuring the product reached the tri-state area without a hitch. The remaining brothers, Leon, Victor, and Jerome, managed individual territories, each responsible for maintaining order and collecting profits. Marcus's philosophy was simple. Trust only those who have as much to lose as you do. By keeping the operation within the family, he minimized the risk of betrayal. But family ties weren't enough. Marcus incentivized loyalty with high payouts and unwavering support. Dealers were paid on time. Their families cared for if trouble arose, and anyone caught skimming or betraying the operation was dealt with swiftly and brutally. Fear and respect worked in tandem, creating an unbreakable chain of command. The rise of Black Diamond. Unlike the chaotic, violence-fueled drug operations of his rivals, Marcus ran Black Diamond with the precision of a Fortune 500 company. He instituted a strict code of conduct. No flashy displays of wealth, no dealing near schools or churches, and no unnecessary violence. His dealers were clean-cut and well-dressed, their appearance designed to blend in rather than stand out. The marketing of Black Diamond was equally calculated. Marcus understood the power of branding, and the name itself carried an air of mystique and allure. The product came in sleek black packaging, marked with a diamond emblem that became a symbol of purity and quality. Addicts who tried it once rarely went back to the diluted heroin sold by his competitors. Within weeks, Marcus's operation dominated Harlem. Within months, it spread to the Bronx, Queens, and Newark. And with each expansion, Marcus's wealth grew exponentially. He funneled the money into legitimate businesses, nightclubs, laundromats, and real estate, creating a facade of respectability that shielded him from prying eyes. But not everyone was fooled. The enemy within. Victor Carter sat in his car, parked outside a run-down tenement building in Newark. The night was cold, the air thick with the scent of exhaust and burning trash. Through the windshield, he watched a group of teenagers huddle on the corner, their hands exchanging small black packages for crumpled bills. Carter's partner, Detective Ray Molina, shifted uncomfortably in the passenger seat. "This is it, isn't it? Black Diamond." Carter nodded, his jaw tight. "This is just the tip of the iceberg. Whoever's running this thing is smarter than we thought." The task force had been working around the clock, but progress was slow. Marcus's operation was airtight, and the few leads they had often led to dead ends, or worse. The corruption within law enforcement was an open secret, and Carter suspected that some of his colleagues were actively sabotaging the investigation. "We need to get closer," Molina said, his voice tinged with frustration. "Find someone on the inside." Carter sighed, running a hand through his hair. "Easier said than done. These guys are loyal to a fault. We'd need someone desperate enough, or stupid enough, to flip." Their opportunity came sooner than expected. A fatal mistake. Jimmy Taylor was a small-time dealer with big ambitions and an even bigger ego. He was also Marcus's cousin, though Marcus had never fully trusted him. Jimmy's reckless behavior had always been a liability, and one night, it cost him dearly. After an argument with his girlfriend escalated into violence, Jimmy shot her in a fit of rage. The sound of gunfire drew the attention of nearby patrol officers, who arrested him on the spot. When Carter's task force got wind of the arrest, they knew they had leverage. In the interrogation room, Carter played the part of the good cop, offering Jimmy a deal: cooperate and avoid a life sentence, or keep quiet and rot in prison. "You don't understand," Jimmy stammered, his eyes wide with fear. "If I talk, I'm as good as dead." Carter leaned in, his voice low and steady. "If you don't talk, you'll spend the rest of your life in a cell. Your choice." After hours of pressure, Jimmy cracked. He didn't know much. Marcus kept him on the fringes of the operation, but what he did know was enough to give Carter a foothold. Jimmy wore a wire during his next meeting with Marcus, providing the task force with their first real insight into the inner workings of Black Diamond. The first crack. The wiretap revealed a critical piece of information. Marcus was planning a major shipment, one that would cement his dominance over the heroin trade. Carter's team worked tirelessly to trace the shipment's route, but Marcus's network was too well organized. For every lead they uncovered, Marcus seemed to be two steps ahead. Frustration mounted within the task force, but Carter refused to give up. He knew they were closing in, and he was determined to bring Marcus down, no matter the cost. Enemies at the gates. Marcus was no fool. He knew someone in his circle had betrayed him, and his suspicions quickly fell on Jimmy. But before he could act, another problem arose. Nikki Barnes, furious over losing market share, declared war on Black Diamond. The Corsican Mafia, equally enraged, began targeting Marcus's distribution network. Harlem became a powder keg, with violence erupting on every corner. Marcus's disciplined operation was tested like never before, and the pressure weighed heavily on him. For the first time, he felt the cracks in the foundation he had so carefully built. But Marcus wasn't about to let his empire crumble. He doubled down, rallying his brothers and enforcers to defend their territories. He struck deals with corrupt officials to keep the police at bay and eliminated anyone who posed a threat to his operation. The rise of Black Diamond had made Marcus Bishop a king. But the higher he climbed, the more enemies he faced, and the further he had to fall. As the walls began to close in, both Marcus and Victor Carter prepared for the inevitable clash that would define their lives. Chapter 4. Allies and Enemies. The roar of the crowd filled the arena, the sounds of cheering and clinking glasses blending into an electric atmosphere. The Madison Square Garden marquee blazed above. Fight of the century. Frazier versus Ollie. For Marcus Bishop, the evening wasn't just about the fight. It was about making a statement. Seated alongside Harlem's political elite, celebrities, and mob bosses, Marcus and his wife Sophia Ortiz looked every bit the power couple. Dressed in an elegant black gown, Sophia's striking beauty turned heads as they entered. Marcus, in a custom-tailored suit, exuded the quiet confidence of a man who had already won. But his choice of seats, better than those of the Italian mobsters he'd outmaneuvered, was no accident. "Marcus, you sure this is smart?" Eddie asked as he leaned closer to his brother. "Being this visible, people are watching." Marcus smiled faintly, his eyes never leaving the ring. "Let them watch. This is what power looks like. An unforgiving rival." From across the arena, Nikki Barnes watched Marcus with a simmering fury. The self-proclaimed godfather of Harlem had ruled the streets before Marcus's meteoric rise, and Black Diamond was cutting deep into his profits. Nikki was flashy, loud, and unpredictable, a stark contrast to Marcus's calculated demeanor. "That bastard thinks he owns Harlem now," Nikki muttered to his lieutenant, who nodded in agreement. "We'll see how long that lasts." Barnes wasn't one to let a challenge go unanswered. Over the coming weeks, he ramped up his operations, flooding the streets with cheaper, lower-quality heroin in an attempt to undercut Black Diamond. The result was chaos. Overdoses spiked, turf wars erupted, and the streets became a battlefield. The Corsican threat. The Corsican Mafia had a different approach. Furious at Marcus for cutting them out of the supply chain, they moved to strike at the heart of his operation. In the dead of night, one of Marcus's distribution hubs was firebombed, killing two of his workers and destroying a significant shipment. The attack was a clear message, and Marcus wasted no time responding. He convened a meeting with his brothers in the back room of his jazz club, the tension palpable. "They're testing us," Marcus said, his voice calm but laced with steel. "They think they can scare us off." "What's the move, Marcus?" Darius asked, his tone uncertain. Marcus leaned forward, his gaze intense. "We head back. Hard. Eddie, I want you to double security at every hub. Darius, find out who's behind the bombing. And Victor," he turned to his second youngest brother, "make sure our shipments keep moving. No delays." Victor hesitated. "And what about Nikki?" Marcus's lips curled into a faint smile. "We'll deal with him soon enough. The corrupt arm of the law. Detective Nick Truppo, a veteran NYPD officer with a reputation for playing both sides, had been quietly extorting Marcus for months. But as Black Diamond's profits soared, so did Tropo's demands. The detective's greed knew no bounds, and Marcus's patience was wearing thin. One evening, Tropo paid an unannounced visit to Marcus's nightclub. As the band played a smooth jazz number, Tropo sauntered in, his presence as unwelcome as the stench of cheap cigars that clung to his uniform. "You've been doing well for yourself, Bishop," Tropo said, his tone dripping with mock admiration. "But success comes with a price." Marcus, seated in a booth with Sophia, gestured for her to leave. She cast a wary glance at Tropo before exiting, her heels clicking against the hardwood floor. "What do you want, Tropo?" Marcus asked, his voice measured. $10,000 a week, Tropo said, lighting a cigar. "And immunity from your little games. Otherwise, I'll make sure you spend the rest of your life in a cell." Marcus's jaw tightened, but he kept his composure. "You'll get your money. But remember this. You push too far, and you'll regret it." Tropo smirked, oblivious to the danger in Marcus's tone. "Good. Pleasure doing business with you." As Tropo left, Marcus turned to Eddie, who had been standing nearby. "We'll deal with him when the time is right. For now, let him think he's in control." A moment of weakness. Despite the growing threats, Marcus found solace in Sophia. Their relationship had deepened since their marriage, her warmth a rare comfort in his otherwise ruthless life. But Sophia, too, had her limits. One evening, as they sat in their sprawling mansion, Sophia confronted Marcus. "Do you ever think about getting out?" she asked, her voice soft but insistent. Marcus looked at her, surprised. "Getting out? Out of what?" "This life. The drugs. The violence. You've made more money than we'll ever need. Why keep risking everything?" Marcus sighed, running a hand over his face. "You think I haven't thought about it? But this isn't just about money. It's about power, respect. If I leave now, everything I've built will crumble." Sophia reached for his hand, her eyes pleading. "I don't care about power, Marcus. I care about you. About us." For a moment, Marcus allowed himself to imagine a different life, a quieter life, free from the weight of his empire. But the thought was fleeting. "I can't walk away," he said finally. "Not yet." Sophia's expression hardened, and she withdrew her hand. "Then I hope you're ready for what's coming. The watchful eye." Victor Carter had been trailing Marcus for weeks, piecing together fragments of his operation. The night of the boxing match had been a turning point. Seeing Marcus in better seats than the Italians had confirmed Carter's suspicions. This wasn't just a dealer. This was a kingpin. "Bishop's smart," Carter told his partner, Ray Molina, as they reviewed surveillance photos in their office. "Keeps his hands clean. Uses his family to handle the dirty work. But there's always a weak link."
"And what's that?"
Molina asked. Carter smirked, tapping a photo of Jimmy Taylor. "Greed." The wiretap on Jimmy had revealed enough to warrant further investigation, but Carter needed more. He began mapping out Marcus's network, identifying key players and potential vulnerabilities. It was painstaking work, but Carter thrived on the challenge. Lines crossed. As the weeks passed, the tension in Harlem reached a boiling point. Nicky Barnes escalated his attacks, targeting Marcus's dealers and spreading rumors of a tainted Black Diamond supply. The Corsican Mafia launched another assault, this time ambushing a shipment en route to Newark. And Tropo, emboldened by his perceived power, began making demands of Marcus's brothers. Marcus knew he was being tested on all fronts, and he responded in kind. Rival dealers were eliminated, their bodies left as warnings. Security around his shipments was tripled, and bribes to law enforcement were carefully recalibrated. Every move was a calculated effort to maintain control, but the cracks were beginning to show. For the first time since Elijah Daniels' death, Marcus began to wonder if he could keep his promise to protect his family, his legacy, and his empire. But one thing was certain. He wouldn't go down without a fight. Chapter 5. Shadows of Betrayal. The glow of streetlights flickered across Harlem's bustling avenues, casting long shadows over a neighborhood simmering with tension. Black Diamond had cemented Marcus Bishop as Harlem's undisputed kingpin, but the empire he'd so carefully built was beginning to show cracks. Rivals and enemies were closing in, and loyalty, once his greatest strength, was no longer guaranteed. In a dimly lit back room of his jazz club, Marcus sat with his brothers, Eddie, Darius, Leon, Victor, and Jerome. The tension between them was palpable. The Corsican Mafia's firebombing, Nicky Barnes' turf aggression, and the growing demands of Detective Nick Truppo had frayed their nerves. "We've got rats," Marcus declared, his voice calm but sharp. "Someone's leaking information about our shipments. And until we figure out who, we're vulnerable." Eddie, seated nearest to Marcus, leaned forward. "You think it's one of us?" "No," Marcus replied immediately, his gaze sweeping the room. "But someone close enough to know how we operate. Jimmy's been acting strange lately. I'll handle it." The brothers exchanged uneasy glances but said nothing. Marcus's authority was absolute, and questioning him wasn't an option. Jimmy's downfall. Jimmy Taylor had always been a weak link. His ambition outpaced his loyalty, and his reckless behavior had put him on Marcus's radar more than once. What Marcus didn't know was that Jimmy had already been compromised. The Newark Task Force, led by Detective Victor Carter, had flipped him with the threat of a long prison sentence. Carter's patience was paying off. The wiretap on Jimmy was yielding valuable intelligence, including the location of one of Marcus's heroin processing facilities. Carter's team was preparing for a raid, but they needed more, a direct link to Marcus himself. "Jimmy's scared," Carter told his partner, Ray Molina, as they reviewed the latest wiretap recordings. "He's sloppy, but he knows enough to get us closer." "Closer to what?" Molina asked. "Marcus is untouchable unless we catch him red-handed." "That's the plan," Carter replied, his eyes narrowing. "And Jimmy's going to help us do it." A growing rift. Sophia Ortiz watched Marcus with a mix of admiration and concern as he stood by the window of their mansion, staring out at the city below. The man she'd married was a far cry from the confident, controlled figure he presented to the world. The weight of his empire was taking its toll. "Marcus," Sophia began, breaking the silence, "you've been quiet all night. What's going on?" Marcus turned to her, his expression softening. "Just thinking. There's a lot happening right now. A lot of pressure." "Then let me help," she said, stepping closer. "You don't have to do this alone." He shook his head. "This isn't your fight, Sophia. I need you to stay out of it." Sophia's frustration flared. "I'm your wife, Marcus. I can't stay out of it if it's tearing you apart. You think I don't see what's happening? You're carrying this on your back, and it's breaking you." Marcus sighed, pulling her into an embrace. "I'll be fine. I always am." But Sophia wasn't convinced. She could feel the growing distance between them, and it terrified her. The fight escalates. Nicky Barnes was relentless in his campaign against Marcus. His men ambushed black diamond dealers, spreading rumors that Marcus's heroin was tainted. The chaos on the streets forced Marcus to divert resources to protect his territories, leaving his distribution network vulnerable. "Barnes thinks he can play this game better than me," Marcus said to Eddie during a late-night meeting. "But he's wrong. He's loud, flashy, and careless. We'll use that against him." "How?" Eddie asked. "We let him think he's winning," Marcus replied with a sly grin. "Then we take him out when he least expects it." The plan was risky, but Marcus was confident. He began feeding false information to Barnes's informants, luring him into a trap. Carter's breakthrough. Meanwhile, Detective Carter's investigation was gaining momentum. The wiretap on Jimmy revealed the location of a shipment being processed in Newark, and Carter's task force prepared for a major raid. For Carter, it wasn't just about taking down Marcus. It was about proving to himself and his superiors that justice could still prevail in a system riddled with corruption. The raid was swift and brutal. Carter's team stormed the warehouse, arresting several workers and seizing a significant quantity of heroin. Among those taken into custody was Marcus's nephew, Andre Bishop. The news of Andre's arrest hit Marcus hard. He was furious at the betrayal that had led to the raid. But more than that, he was concerned for his nephew. Andre was young and inexperienced, and Marcus knew the police would try to flip him. "Give me a lawyer," Marcus ordered Leon. "I want Andre out of there before he says anything stupid." But the damage was done. The raid had not only cost Marcus a shipment but also exposed vulnerabilities in his operation. Jimmy's fate. Marcus wasted no time confronting Jimmy. The two met in a secluded spot in Harlem, the air thick with tension. "You've been running your mouth, Jimmy," Marcus said, his voice cold. "And now Andre's sitting in a cell because of you." Jimmy's eyes darted nervously. "I don't know what you're talking about, Marcus." "I didn't." Before he could finish, Marcus grabbed him by the collar, slamming him against a wall. "Don't lie to me," Marcus growled. "I know you've been working with the cops. You think I wouldn't find out?" Jimmy stammered, his face pale. "I didn't mean to, Marcus. They had me cornered. I had no choice." Marcus released him, taking a step back. "You always have a choice, Jimmy. And you made the wrong one." Jimmy's body was found the next morning, his death a clear message to anyone considering betrayal. But while Marcus had eliminated the immediate threat, he couldn't shake the feeling that his empire was beginning to crumble. A dangerous game. Victor Carter wasn't surprised when he learned of Jimmy's death. He knew it was only a matter of time before Marcus discovered the betrayal. But Carter wasn't deterred. If anything, Jimmy's death only strengthened his resolve. "Bishop's feeling the heat," Carter said to Molina. "We're getting closer." "Closer to what?" Molina asked. "Another dead informant? Marcus is smarter than you think." "I know he is," Carter replied. "But everyone slips up eventually. And when he does, we'll be there." Lines blurred. The stress of his empire and the threats closing in began to take a toll on Marcus. His once unshakable confidence was starting to waver, and even his brothers noticed the change. "We're not untouchable anymore," Darius said during a family meeting. "The cops, Barnes, the Corsicans, they're all coming for us." Marcus nodded, his jaw tight. "Let them come. We've faced worse before." But deep down, Marcus knew this time was different. The shadows of betrayal and the relentless pursuit of justice were closing in, and the cracks in his empire were becoming impossible to ignore. Chapter 6. The Fight of the Century. Madison Square Garden was alive with energy, the arena brimming with celebrities, politicians, and mobsters who had all gathered to witness the fight of the decade, Joe Frazier versus Muhammad Ali. The air was electric, a palpable tension crackling among the crowd as they awaited the opening bell. For Marcus Bishop, attending the fight wasn't just about enjoying the spectacle. It was a statement. He had secured seats better than those of the Italian mobsters and Harlem's other major players, including Nicky Barnes. Beside him, his wife Sophia Ortiz radiated elegance in a crimson dress, her diamond earrings sparkling under the arena's lights. "Marcus," Sophia murmured, her voice low enough to avoid drawing attention. "You're making yourself a target sitting here." Marcus smirked, his gaze fixed on the ring. "That's the point." Nearby, Nicky Barnes watched with a scowl. His usual swagger was tempered by anger, the sight of Marcus occupying such a prominent position fueling his growing resentment. "Look at him," Barnes growled to his lieutenant. "Thinks he's untouchable. We'll see about that." A new target. From the upper level of the arena, Detective Victor Carter scanned the crowd, his eyes narrowing as they landed on Marcus Bishop. Carter had attended the fight not as a fan, but as an investigator. He had spent weeks piecing together Marcus's operation, and this was the first time he'd seen the man in person. "Front row seats," Carter muttered to his partner, Ray Molina. "Better than the Italians. That tells you everything you need to know." Molina nodded. "Man's got money and power, that's for sure. Question is, how do we bring him down?" Carter didn't respond immediately. His mind was already racing, calculating his next move. Marcus wasn't like the other dealers they'd taken down. He was disciplined, strategic, and careful to keep his hands clean. But Carter knew that no one was untouchable. "We start here," Carter said finally. "Find out who he's meeting, who's protecting him, and how he's moving his money. If we can crack his network, we can crack him." A public statement. The fight began with a roar from the crowd, the cheers and jeers of fans echoing through the arena. Marcus barely paid attention to the match, his focus shifting between the people around him and the broader implications of his presence. Sitting front and center wasn't just about showing off. It was about sending a message to his rivals, to his allies, and to law enforcement. He leaned toward Eddie, who sat two seats away, and spoke just loud enough to be heard over the din. Watch Nicky. He's been eyeing us all night. Eddie glanced toward Barnes, who was indeed glaring in their direction. You think he's planning something? Marcus shrugged. Doesn't matter. Let him try. He's too predictable to be a real threat. As the fight continued, Marcus noticed another set of eyes on him, Detective Carter's. The realization that law enforcement was tracking him didn't surprise him, but it did remind him that his empire, no matter how carefully built, was under constant threat. Barnes strikes. In the weeks following the fight, Nicky Barnes ramped up his attacks on Marcus's operation. His men ambushed black diamond dealers, leaving bloody messages that sent shockwaves through the streets of Harlem. Rumors spread that Barnes was planning to flood the market with a rival product, a diluted heroin designed to undermine Black Diamond's reputation. Marcus, however, wasn't easily rattled. He saw Barnes's moves for what they were, desperate attempts to regain control. Let him waste his time, Marcus told his brothers during a late-night meeting. Barnes is loud, flashy, and careless. Sooner or later, he'll slip, and when he does, we'll finish him. Eddie, ever cautious, voiced his concerns. Barnes isn't the only problem, Marcus. The Corsicans are still out there, and Truppo's been asking for more money. I'm handling Truppo, Marcus replied, his tone dismissive. As for the Corsicans, they've already made their move and failed. They won't try again anytime soon. But Eddie wasn't convinced. The pressure from all sides was mounting, and even Marcus's calm demeanor couldn't disguise the cracks beginning to show. Carter's investigation deepens. Victor Carter, meanwhile, was making progress. The raid on Marcus's Newark processing facility had yielded valuable information, and the task force was closing in on key members of his operation. Carter knew that Marcus wouldn't go down without a fight, but he also knew that the kingpin's growing visibility was a double-edged sword. We need to cut off his money, Carter told Molina as they reviewed surveillance photos of Marcus's known associates. Without cash, his operation falls apart. That's easier said than done, Molina replied. The man's got legitimate businesses covering his tracks, Carter smirked. Then we hit the illegitimate ones. Dealers, distributors, anyone who touches Black Diamond. We squeeze them until they turn on him. An unexpected ally. In the midst of the escalating tension, Marcus received an offer of assistance from an unlikely source, a mid-level Italian mobster named Salvatore Russo. Russo, frustrated with his bosses for allowing Marcus to dominate Harlem without challenge, proposed an alliance. We've got common enemies, Russo said during a clandestine meeting in a Brooklyn warehouse. The Corsicans want you out, and Barnes is a liability for all of us. We work together. We can wipe them both out. Marcus listened carefully, weighing the risks and benefits. Aligning with Russo could strengthen his position, but it could also draw the attention of more powerful Italian families who might not approve. I don't trust you, Marcus said bluntly, but I'll consider your offer. Russo grinned. That's all I ask. The gathering storm. As the weeks wore on, the storm brewing around Marcus grew more intense. Barnes's aggression, the Corsican Mafia's lingering threat, and Carter's relentless pursuit created a trifecta of challenges that threatened to dismantle his empire. But Marcus remained steadfast, determined to protect what he had built. One evening, as he stood on the balcony of his mansion, Sophia joined him, her expression unreadable. Is it worth it? She asked quietly. Marcus didn't respond immediately. He gazed out at the city, the lights twinkling like stars against the darkness. It has to be, he said finally, for all of us. But even as he spoke the words, a small voice in the back of his mind whispered a truth he wasn't ready to face. The fight for his empire was far from over, and the cost of victory might be more than he could bear. Chapter 7. Breaking the Chain. The sound of breaking glass echoed through the alley as Marcus Bishop slammed his fist against the wall. He rarely let his frustration show, but tonight was different. One of his shipments, worth millions, had been intercepted in Newark. The news had hit like a thunderclap, threatening the delicate balance he had worked so hard to maintain. Darius, Marcus barked, his voice cutting through the tension in the room. His brothers sat around the table in their Harlem headquarters, each wearing expressions of unease. How did this happen? Darius, always composed, leaned forward, resting his forearms on the table. We got sloppy. Too many eyes on that shipment, too many hands involved. But I'm working on cleaning it up. Marcus's gaze hardened. Cleaning it up isn't enough. We need to send a message. Eddie, ever the voice of caution, interjected. Marcus, we're already stretched thin. Between Barnes, the Corsicans, and the cops, we're fighting too many battles at once. If we push too hard, we might not recover. Marcus locked eyes with his brother. If we don't push, we lose everything. Do you want to go back to scraping by, Eddie? Because I don't. Carter tightens the noose. Detective Victor Carter stood in the dimly lit war room of his precinct, surrounded by maps, surveillance photos, and wiretap transcripts. The latest raid on Marcus's operation had been a success, but Carter knew the battle was far from over. We've got them on the ropes, Carter said, addressing his task force. But we need to keep the pressure on. Marcus Bishop isn't just another dealer. He's running an empire, and he's not going to let it fall without a fight. Ray Molina raised a hand, a skeptical look on his face. How do we get to him, Vic? The man's untouchable. He doesn't handle the product directly, doesn't leave a paper trail. Even the people closest to him don't know where he is half the time. Carter pointed to a photo of Marcus's brothers. Then we go after his family. There is weak spot. Take out the foundation, and the whole thing collapses. The room fell silent as Carter's words sank in. It was a bold strategy, and a dangerous one, but it was their best shot at bringing Marcus down. Internal fractures. As Carter's task force tightened its grip, the pressure began to take its toll on Marcus's organization. Trust, once the cornerstone of his empire, was eroding. Marcus's brothers, though loyal, started questioning his decisions. The stress of constant attacks and the mounting losses made even the closest bonds fray. Leon, the hot-headed middle brother, was the first to voice his doubts. Marcus, maybe Eddie's right. Maybe it's time to pull back, regroup. We can't keep fighting on all these fronts. Marcus slammed his hand on the table, silencing the room. Pull back. Do you think Nicky Barnes or the Corsicans are going to let us regroup? They'll take it as a sign of weakness and come at us even harder. Victor, the youngest brother, spoke hesitantly. What about the cops? They've already got Andre. What if he flips? He won't, Marcus said firmly, though a flicker of uncertainty crossed his face. Andre knows what's at stake. Despite Marcus's reassurances, the room was heavy with doubt. For the first time, cracks were appearing in the family's united front. Barnes's gambit. Nicky Barnes wasn't content with merely challenging Marcus's control of Harlem. He wanted to destroy him. Through a network of informants and spies, Barnes learned about Marcus's alliances, his vulnerabilities, and his weaknesses. Barnes decided to make his move. He orchestrated a brazen attack on one of Marcus's main distribution hubs in the Bronx, setting it ablaze in the dead of night. The fire consumed thousands of dollars worth of product, leaving Marcus reeling. It's Barnes, Eddie said as they surveyed the damage the next morning. He's getting bolder. Marcus clenched his fists, his mind racing. Barnes wasn't just attacking his business. He was attacking his reputation. And in the criminal underworld, reputation was everything. We need to hit him where it hurts, Marcus said. And I know just how to do it. The turning point. As Marcus planned his retaliation, Carter's task force scored a major breakthrough. An informant, desperate to avoid jail time, provided the location of one of Marcus's heroin processing facilities in Harlem. The team prepared for a raid, knowing it could be the turning point in their investigation. The raid was swift and chaotic. Carter and his team stormed the facility, arresting several workers and seizing a massive shipment of black diamond. Among those captured was one of Marcus's brothers, Jerome. When the news reached Marcus, he was livid. Losing a shipment was one thing, but losing a family member was another. He knew Carter was closing in, and he needed to act fast to protect what remained of his empire. Retaliation. Marcus's retaliation against Barnes was as calculated as it was brutal. Using information gathered from his network of spies, Marcus targeted one of Barnes's key lieutenants, a man named Rico. In a daring move, Marcus's men ambushed Rico in broad daylight, leaving him wounded and sending a clear message. Marcus Bishop wasn't going down without a fight. The move sent shockwaves through Harlem. Barnes, furious and humiliated, escalated the conflict, turning the streets into a war zone. The violence spilled over into neighborhoods, drawing even more attention from law enforcement. The weight of leadership. Late one night, Marcus found himself alone in his office, staring at a map of his territories. The weight of his decisions pressed down on him like never before. He had promised to protect his family and his empire, but with each passing day, the cost grew higher. Sophia entered the room, her expression a mix of concern and exhaustion. "Marcus, you're wearing yourself thin. You can't keep doing this." "I don't have a choice," Marcus replied, his voice heavy. "If I back down now, everything I've built falls apart." Sophia placed a hand on his shoulder. "You've done enough. Maybe it's time to walk away." Marcus shook his head. "Walking away isn't an option. Not now." But even as he spoke the words, he couldn't shake the feeling that the walls were closing in. The fight for control of Harlem had become a battle for survival, and Marcus was running out of time. Chapter 8, The Ray. The stillness of the Harlem night was broken by the wail of sirens and the sudden burst of blaring lights. Detective Victor Carter's task force descended on one of Marcus Bishop's heroin processing facilities in the early hours of the morning. It was a meticulously planned operation, months in the making, with a single goal: strike a decisive blow against the Bishop Empire. "Move, move, move," Carter barked, his voice cutting through the chaos. Officers in tactical gear stormed the building, breaking down doors and corralling workers who scrambled to escape. The pungent smell of chemicals filled the air, a stark reminder of the work done inside. Marcus's brother Jerome, caught off guard by the raid, was apprehended alongside several other key operatives. The seizure was a victory for the task force, yielding not only a significant quantity of black diamond, but also valuable records that could unravel the rest of the operation. "Bag it all," Carter ordered, surveying the scene with satisfaction. "Every scrap of paper, every ledger. I want this place clean by the time we leave." As the officers worked, Carter's mind raced. This was more than a raid. It was a chance to dismantle Marcus's empire piece by piece. The fallout. When news of the raid reached Marcus, his world seemed to tilt. Jerome's arrest was a devastating blow, not just to the business, but to the family. For years, Marcus had prided himself on keeping his brothers safe, shielding them from the worst of the dangers that came with their line of work. But now, one of them was in custody, and the operation was bleeding. In the dimly lit back room of the jazz club, Marcus convened an emergency meeting with his remaining brothers. The tension was palpable, the air heavy with unspoken fears. "Jerome Strong," Eddie said, trying to sound reassuring. "He won't talk." Marcus's jaw tightened. "That's not the point. They've got him. And now they've got leverage. If they flip him, it's over. What do we do?" Darius asked, his voice low. Marcus leaned forward, his eyes blazing with determination. "We take control. Tighten the network, cut out anyone who's even a little suspicious. And we move the operations underground. No more fixed locations." Eddie hesitated. "Marcus, we're stretched in as it is. If we make too many changes too quickly, we risk losing everything." Marcus slammed his hand on the table. "We've already lost too much. We do this my way, or we don't do it at all." The room fell silent. Marcus's authority had never been questioned, but the cracks in their unity were becoming impossible to ignore. Barnes's opportunity. Nicky Barnes saw the raid as an opportunity. With Marcus's operation weakened, Barnes moved swiftly to expand his own network, flooding Harlem's streets with his own brand of heroin. He knew that Marcus wouldn't let the attack go unanswered, but he relished the chance to claim more territory. During a meeting with his lieutenants, Barnes grinned as he reviewed the latest reports. "Bishop's bleeding, and we're taking over. Keep the pressure on. I want every corner that used to be his under our control by the end of the week." His men nodded, eager to carry out his orders. But even as Barnes celebrated his victories, he couldn't shake the feeling that Marcus was planning something big. Carter's gambit. Victor Carter was equally aware of the shifting dynamics in Harlem. With Jerome in custody, Carter's task force worked tirelessly to break him. Days of interrogation yielded little, but Carter wasn't about to give up. "You're loyal, I get that," Carter said during one of the sessions, his tone almost conversational. But loyalty won't mean much when you're spending the rest of your life in a cell. Marcus isn't going to save you, Jerome. He's going to cut you loose, just like everyone else he's used. Jerome's expression remained stoic, but Carter could see the flicker of doubt in his eyes. It was a small crack, but it was enough. "You want out of this?" Carter pressed. "Help me take Marcus down, and I'll make sure you don't go down with him. Retaliation in the shadows." Marcus knew that a public retaliation against Barnes or the police would only invite more scrutiny. Instead, he opted for a quieter approach. Using his network of informants and loyalists, Marcus targeted Barnes's supply lines, sabotaging shipments and spreading rumors of tainted product. The results were subtle but effective. Dealers began to lose trust in Barnes, and addicts sought alternatives. "Let him think he's winning," Marcus told Eddie during one of their late-night strategy sessions. "The louder he gets, the more mistakes he'll make." Eddie nodded, though his unease was clear. "And the cops?" Marcus's expression darkened. "We stay two steps ahead. Tropo's already asking for more. We give him what he wants for now. But we start preparing for the day we don't need him. A family divided." Despite Marcus's efforts to project confidence, the strain within the family was growing. Jerome's arrest had rattled everyone, and even the most loyal brothers began to question Marcus's decisions. Late one night, Darius confronted Marcus in private. "We need to talk." Marcus, seated at his desk, didn't look up. "About what?" "About everything," Darius said, his tone firm. "We're losing ground, losing people. You're so focused on fighting Barnes and the cops that you're not seeing what it's doing to us." Marcus's gaze finally met Darius's, his expression unreadable. "You think I don't know what's at stake? I've sacrificed everything to protect this family, and I'll be damned if I let it fall apart." "But at what cost, Marcus?" Darius pressed. "Jerome's in jail. Eddie's on edge. Even Victor's starting to question things. You're pushing too hard, and it's going to break us." For a moment, Marcus said nothing. Then he stood, his voice cold. "If you think you can do better, Darius, go ahead. But don't you dare question my loyalty to this family." Darius shook his head, his frustration evident. "It's not your loyalty I'm questioning, Marcus. It's your judgment." With that, he turned and left, leaving Marcus alone with his thoughts. The storm builds. The fallout from the raid marked a turning point for Marcus and his empire. The once unbreakable bonds of trust were fraying, and the enemies circling him were growing bolder. Yet, even as the storm gathered, Marcus refused to back down. He had built his empire from nothing, and he would fight to keep it, no matter the cost. But as the walls closed in, Marcus began to realize that the fight wasn't just about protecting his empire. It was about protecting the people he loved, even if it meant losing everything else. Chapter 9: The Deal. The sound of a prison cell door slamming shut echoed through the cold, sterile hallway as Jerome Bishop was escorted to an interrogation room. His wrists were cuffed, and the weight of his situation pressed down on him. Detective Victor Carter waited on the other side of the table, his demeanor calm but intense. "Take a seat," Carter said, motioning toward the chair. Jerome hesitated before complying, his eyes darting around the room, searching for an escape that didn't exist. "You've been here a while now," Carter began, leaning forward slightly. "Must be tiring. The waiting. The uncertainty. Let me make it simple for you. You're looking at 25 to life if you don't start talking." Jerome remained silent, his jaw tight. "I get it," Carter continued. "Family loyalty, right? Marcus has always looked out for you. But let me ask you this, where's Marcus now? You think he's coming to save you? Or do you think he's already figured out how to replace you?" The words hit their mark, and Jerome's eyes flickered with doubt. Carter leaned in closer, pressing his advantage. "I can help you," Carter said, his tone softening. "But you've got to help me first. Give me Marcus. Give me the operation. And I'll make sure you walk out of this with a future." Jerome looked down at the table, the weight of the decision bearing down on him. For years, Marcus had been his leader, his protector. But now, in the face of a potential lifetime behind bars, Jerome's loyalty was wavering. Marcus's countermove. Across Harlem, Marcus was meeting with his legal team and trusted advisors to discuss Jerome's predicament. The raid had been a devastating blow, but Marcus wasn't about to let the system claim one of his brothers without a fight. "We need to get Jerome out before he cracks," Marcus said, his voice firm. "Whatever it takes." "Bail's not an option," his attorney replied. "They're holding him as a flight risk, and with the charges they've got, they're going to keep him locked up as long as they can." Marcus's mind raced. He couldn't afford to lose Jerome, not just for the operation's sake, but because of what it would mean for the family. If Jerome flipped, it would set a dangerous precedent, one that could unravel everything Marcus had built. "What about inside?" Marcus asked, his tone sharp. "Can we get to him in there? Make sure he knows we're working on it." Eddie, seated nearby, shook his head. "That's risky. If Carter catches wind of it, it could backfire." Marcus's jaw tightened. For the first time, he felt the true weight of his enemies closing in. Not just the police, but the cracks forming within his own ranks. Nicky Barnes pushes forward. While Marcus was consumed with protecting his brother, Nicky Barnes seized the opportunity to expand further into Harlem. His dealers became bolder, encroaching on Marcus's territory and spreading rumors that Black Diamond was losing its edge. "He's making a move," Eddie said during a late-night meeting. "Barnes is taking corners that used to be ours, and the dealers are starting to listen." Marcus's expression was grim. "They listen because they think we're weak. We need to remind them who's in charge." "And how do you want to do that?" Darius asked. "Simple," Marcus replied. "We cut off Barnes's supply." Over the next week, Marcus's men launched a series of covert strikes against Barnes's distribution network. Trucks were hijacked, warehouses burned, and shipments mysteriously disappeared. By the time Barnes realized what was happening, his operation was in chaos. But the retaliation came at a cost. The increased violence drew even more attention from law enforcement, adding to the pressure on Marcus's already strained empire. Carter's breakthrough. Back in the precinct, Carter pored over the files and evidence gathered from the raid. The pieces of Marcus's operation were starting to come together, but Carter knew they needed more to take him down. "How's Jerome holding up?" Carter asked Molina. "Still quiet," Molina replied. "But he's cracking. Another day or two, and he'll give us something." Carter nodded. He had learned long ago that patience was key in cases like this. Marcus was smart, but even the smartest criminals made mistakes. All Carter needed was one slip. That slip came sooner than expected. A ledger recovered from the raid contained coded entries that, when deciphered, revealed key details about Marcus's distribution routes and financial transactions. It was the break Carter had been waiting for. "This is it," Carter said, a rare smile crossing his face. "We've got him. A family on the brink." At the Bishop family home, the tension was palpable. Marcus had called another meeting. His brothers gathered around the dining room table. The mood was somber, the unspoken fear of Jerome's fate hanging heavy in the air. "We're running out of time," Eddie said, his frustration evident. "Jerome's been in there too long. If he hasn't talked yet, he will soon." "He won't talk," Marcus snapped, though his voice lacked its usual conviction. "Are you sure about that?" Victor asked quietly. "Because if he does, we're all screwed." The room fell silent, the weight of Victor's words sinking in. For the first time, Marcus saw the doubt in his brother's eyes, and it shook him to his core. "We stick to the plan," Marcus said finally, his voice steady. "Jerome knows what's at stake. He won't betray us." But even as he said the words, a small voice in the back of his mind whispered a darker truth. Everyone had their breaking point. The deal is struck. Back in the interrogation room, Jerome finally broke his silence. After hours of questioning and the relentless pressure from Carter, he agreed to cooperate on one condition. "I'll give you what you want," Jerome said, his voice barely above a whisper. "But you leave my family out of it." Carter nodded, his expression unreadable. "Deal." With that, the walls around Marcus's empire began to crumble. Jerome's testimony, combined with the evidence from the raid, provided Carter with the ammunition he needed to go after Marcus directly. The beginning of the end. As Carter prepared to execute his final plan, Marcus sensed the tide turning against him. the once unshakable foundation of his empire was cracking, and the enemies closing in were no longer just outside forces, they were within. The fight was far from over, but Marcus knew one thing for certain. The stakes had never been higher. Chapter 10. The Raid on Harlem. The hum of police radios crackled in the pre-dawn darkness as a convoy of blacked-out SUVs rolled silently through Harlem's quiet streets. This was no ordinary operation. Detective Victor Carter and his task force were preparing to strike a decisive blow against Marcus Bishop's empire. The raid had been months in the making. Armed with Jerome Bishop's testimony, surveillance data, and the ledger seized from the Newark facility, Carter finally had the pieces he needed to dismantle Marcus's operation. This was going to be an all-out assault. Multiple locations, simultaneous raids, and an army of officers descending like a tidal wave. Carter, clad in tactical gear, addressed his team one last time before the operation began. "We've worked too hard to let this slip through our fingers. No mistakes, no hesitation. Bishop is going down today. Let's move." The Bishop stronghold. In the heart of Harlem, Marcus Bishop sat at his desk, poring over maps and notes with Eddie and Darius. The tension in the room was thick, each man acutely aware that the walls were closing in. "We've got a shipment moving tonight," Eddie said, breaking the silence. "If we can get it through, we'll be back on track." Marcus nodded, his mind racing. The raid on the Newark facility and Jerome's arrest had shaken the operation to its core. But Marcus wasn't ready to give up. Not yet. Before he could respond, a trusted lookout burst into the room, his face pale. "Boss, we've got cops rolling in from all directions. It's bad." Marcus's heart sank, but he didn't let it show. "Eddie, lock down the building. Darius, get everyone out of here. Burn anything that ties us to this place." As the brothers scrambled to follow his orders, Marcus grabbed his phone and dialed a number. It rang twice before a gruff voice answered. "Trippo," the voice said. "We've got a problem," Marcus said. "I need a diversion." Trippo hesitated. "You know the price." "Do it," Marcus snapped, ending the call. He didn't have time to negotiate. Chaos in the streets. As the task force converged on Marcus's stronghold, Trippo's corrupt officers staged a phony robbery across town, pulling resources away from the main raid. But Carter, anticipating such a move, had planned for contingencies. His team pressed forward, undeterred. The raid began with a deafening crash as officers used a battering ram to breach the front door. Tear gas canisters were tossed inside, filling the air with smoke and chaos. Marcus's men, caught off guard, scrambled to escape or destroy evidence. Carter entered behind the first wave, his weapon drawn. "Secure the perimeter," he shouted. "Nobody gets out." The scene was pandemonium. Marcus's men exchanged fire with the police, bullets ricocheting off walls as officers moved methodically through the building. Eddie and Darius fought to buy time, but the overwhelming force of the task force left them with few options. Marcus's escape, while his brothers held the line, Marcus used a hidden passage to slip out of the building. He emerged in an alleyway, his mind racing. He had anticipated a raid, but not on this scale. The operation was unraveling faster than he could control. Marcus flagged down a car driven by one of his loyalists. "We need to regroup," he said as he climbed into the back seat. "Take me to the safe house." The driver nodded, weaving through side streets to avoid police roadblocks. Marcus stared out the window, his jaw clenched. He knew this was more than a raid. It was a calculated attempt to end him. And it was working. Carter's triumph. By dawn, the raid was over. Dozens of Marcus's men had been arrested, along with Eddie and Darius. Large quantities of heroin, cash, and weapons were seized, and the stronghold was left in ruins. It was the task force's biggest victory yet. Carter stood outside the building, surveying the aftermath. Sweat and soot clung to his face, but his expression was one of grim satisfaction. "We've got him on the run," he said to Molina. "But it's not over until we have Marcus himself." Molina nodded, handing Carter a folder. "We found these in the basement. More ledgers, encrypted this time. But they should lead us to his finances." Carter took the folder, his determination renewed. Marcus had slipped through his fingers, but his empire was crumbling. It was only a matter of time before the kingpin fell. The safe house. Miles away, Marcus sat in the dimly lit living room of a safe house, surrounded by a handful of trusted men. His clothes were disheveled, his face drawn with exhaustion. For the first time, he felt the weight of defeat pressing down on him. "We lost Eddie and Darius," one of his men said quietly. "And most of our product." Marcus nodded slowly. "What about the money?" "Still secure for now. But the cops are closing in." Marcus closed his eyes, his mind racing. He had spent years building an empire that now seemed on the brink of collapse. He couldn't afford to think about the losses, not yet. He had to focus on surviving, on finding a way to turn the tide. "We're not done," Marcus said finally, his voice steady. "Not yet." Barnes's celebration. Across town, Nicky Barnes celebrated the news of the raid with his lieutenants. The downfall of Marcus Bishop was exactly what he had been waiting for. "This is our chance," Barnes said, raising a glass. "Bishop's out of the picture, and Harlem is ours." But even as he toasted his victory, Barnes knew better than to let his guard down. Marcus was too smart, too resourceful to go down without a fight. The fight continues. As the sun rose over Harlem, the streets buzzed with rumors of Marcus's downfall. But for Marcus, the fight was far from over. From the shadows of his safe house, he began to plot his next move, determined to reclaim what was his. For Carter, the victory was bittersweet. He had struck a major blow against Marcus's empire, but he knew the battle was far from over. The kingpin was still out there, and until he was behind bars, the war would continue. Chapter 11, The Betrayal. The walls of the safe house seemed to close in on Marcus Bishop as he paced back and forth, his mind racing. The raid had left his empire in shambles, and the arrests of Eddie and Darius cut deeper than he let on. They weren't just his lieutenants, they were his brothers, his family. And now, they were in police custody, vulnerable to turning against him. "Boss, we need to move," one of his men said cautiously. "Carter's not going to stop until he gets you." Marcus stopped pacing and turned to the man, his sharp gaze cutting through the dim light. "Let him try. He doesn't understand how this game works." But even as Marcus said the words, he couldn't ignore the sinking feeling in his gut. The game had changed, and for the first time, it felt like he was losing. Carter's pressure tactics. Detective Victor Carter stood in the interrogation room, staring across the table at Eddie Bishop. Eddie, usually the calm and measured brother, looked ragged, his face lined with exhaustion. "You're in deep, Eddie," Carter said, his tone steady. "We've got enough to put you away for life, but it doesn't have to go that way." Eddie leaned back in his chair, his jaw clenched. "I'm not giving you anything." Carter smirked, leaning forward. "You think Marcus cares about you? About Darius? While you're in here, he's out there rebuilding, cutting deals, and saving his own skin. Do you really think he's coming for you?" Eddie didn't respond, but Carter saw the flicker of doubt in his eyes. It was a small victory, but Carter knew that breaking Eddie was key to bringing Marcus down. "You've got a choice," Carter continued. "Help me take Marcus down, and I'll make sure you see the outside of a prison cell. Otherwise, you'll rot in here while he walks free." Marcus's plan. Back at the safe house, Marcus was deep in conversation with one of his remaining lieutenants. The losses from the raid had left his operation crippled, but Marcus was determined to rebuild. His first priority was securing his remaining assets. "We move the money offshore," Marcus said. "Split it across accounts. Make it impossible for Carter to trace." "And what about the product?" the lieutenant asked. Marcus's expression hardened. "We cut our losses. Focus on what we can control. For now, it's about survival." But survival wasn't enough for Marcus. He wanted revenge on Carter, on Nicky Barnes, on everyone who had dared to challenge him. And he knew that to reclaim his empire, he needed to eliminate the threats one by one. Barnes's overreach. While Marcus regrouped, Nicky Barnes was making bold moves to solidify his control over Harlem. His men flooded the streets with cheap heroin, undercutting what little remained of Black Diamond's distribution network. But Barnes's overconfidence led him to make mistakes. During a meeting with his lieutenants, Barnes revealed his plan to expand into Marcus's former territories in the Bronx and Queens. "Bishop's finished," he said, grinning. "We've got the streets, we've got the supply. It's only a matter of time." What Barnes didn't realize was that Marcus still had allies in unexpected places. One of Barnes's lieutenants, resentful of being overlooked, secretly contacted Marcus with information about Barnes's operations. "He's getting sloppy," the man said during a late-night meeting. "You hit him now. You can take him out for good." Marcus nodded, his mind already working through the possibilities. "Tell me everything." "The trap." Marcus's plan to eliminate Nicky Barnes was simple but effective. Using the information from the informant, Marcus set a trap, luring Barnes into a false sense of security. A shipment of high-grade heroin was arranged to pass through one of Barnes's key territories, but Marcus's men were lying in wait. The ambush was swift and brutal. Barnes's men were overwhelmed, their supply lines severed. By the time the dust settled, Barnes's operation was in chaos, and Marcus had sent a clear message. He wasn't finished yet. A brother's betrayal. At the precinct, Carter's relentless questioning finally paid off. Eddie Bishop, worn down by days of interrogation and the weight of his family's downfall, made a decision that would change everything. "I'll talk," Eddie said quietly, his voice barely audible. "But I want protection. For me and Darius." Carter's heart raced. He had spent months trying to crack the Bishop brothers, and now, he had what he needed. "You'll get your protection," Carter promised. "But you've got to give me Marcus." Eddie hesitated, the conflict evident in his eyes. But in the end, the fear of spending his life behind bars outweighed his loyalty to his brother. "He's got a safe house," Eddie said finally. "I'll give you the location. The final move." As dawn broke over Harlem, Marcus sat in the safe house, unaware that the walls were about to close in. He had spent the night strategizing, planning his next move against Carter and Barnes. But his plans were cut short by the sound of tires screeching outside. "Boss, it's the cops," one of his men shouted. Marcus grabbed his gun, his mind racing. He had prepared for this moment, but the speed of the police response caught him off guard. Within minutes, the safe house was surrounded. Carter, leading the raid, shouted through a bullhorn, "Marcus Bishop, this is the NYPD. Come out with your hands up." Inside, Marcus weighed his options. He could try to fight his way out, but the odds were against him. Surrendering felt like a betrayal of everything he had built, but survival was the only path left. As the seconds ticked by, Marcus made his decision. He handed his gun to one of his men and raised his hands. "I'm coming out," he called. "The arrest." The sight of Marcus Bishop in handcuffs sent shockwaves through Harlem. For years, he had been untouchable, a symbol of power and control. Now, he was just another criminal caught in the system. Carter watched as Marcus was loaded into a police car, a mix of satisfaction and exhaustion washing over him. The raid had been a success, but he knew the fight wasn't over. Marcus still had resources, allies, and the ability to cause chaos from behind bars. But for now, Carter allowed himself a small victory. Marcus Bishop, the kingpin of Harlem, had finally fallen. Chapter 12, The Legacy of the Veil. The clinking of chains echoed in the courtroom as Marcus Bishop was led to the defendant's table. The once-feared kingpin of Harlem now stood in a dark gray suit, his face impassive, betraying none of the turmoil churning within. The air in the courtroom was heavy with anticipation, journalists and onlookers packed into every available seat. This was no ordinary trial. It was the culmination of years of investigation, a reckoning for a man who had built an empire in the shadows. Across the room, Detective Victor Carter sat beside the prosecutor, his gaze fixed on Marcus. For Carter, this moment was the result of countless sleepless nights and near misses, of sacrifices that had cost him more than he cared to admit. But as he watched Marcus sit down, Carter felt no triumph, only a hollow sense of inevitability. The testimony. The trial was swift, thanks in large part to the testimony of Eddie Bishop. Facing the reality of spending his life in prison, Eddie had turned state's witness, providing the prosecution with damning evidence against his brother. On the stand, Eddie's voice was steady, but the pain in his eyes was unmistakable. Marcus was the mastermind, Eddie said, his words cutting through the silence. He made the decisions, controlled the money, the product, everything. We just followed orders. Marcus's expression didn't waver, but his clenched fists betrayed the storm beneath his calm exterior. Betrayal from his own brother stung more than the charges he faced. Yet Marcus couldn't entirely blame Eddie. He had always known the risks, the fragility of loyalty under pressure, a family in shambles. Back in Harlem, the Bishop family was reeling. With Eddie's betrayal and Darius still in custody, the family that had once been Marcus's greatest strength was now a shadow of its former self. Their mother, Delilah Bishop, sat in her modest home, her heart heavy with grief. "I raised you boys to stick together," she said softly to Victor, the youngest of the brothers, who had escaped arrest but now carried the weight of their downfall. "Not to tear each other apart." Victor looked down, guilt etched across his face. "We didn't mean for it to end this way, Mama. We didn't see any other way out." Delilah sighed, her eyes brimming with tears. "There's always another way, Victor. You boys just forgot that when you followed Marcus into the darkness." The verdict. The jury deliberated for only a few hours before returning with their decision. Marcus Bishop was found guilty on all charges. Drug trafficking, racketeering, conspiracy, and more. The sentence was harsh, 70 years in federal prison, with no chance of parole. As the judge read the sentence, Marcus stood stoic, his gaze fixed ahead. For him, the trial was not just the end of his empire, but the beginning of a new chapter, a chapter he would write from behind bars. Carter's reflection. After the trial, Carter stood outside the courthouse, watching as reporters swarmed around the prosecutors. He lit a cigarette, the sharp taste of tobacco grounding him in the moment. The victory felt hollow. Yes, Marcus was behind bars, but Harlem was still grappling with the scars of his empire. The drugs, the violence, the corruption. It would all continue, just with new players stepping into the vacuum Marcus had left behind. Molina approached him, clapping a hand on his shoulder. "You did it, Vic. You brought him down." Carter exhaled a cloud of smoke, his expression unreadable. "Yeah, but the city's still broken. Marcus in prison." Prison was a different kind of battlefield, but Marcus adapted quickly. His reputation preceded him, ensuring a degree of respect among the inmates. Yet the isolation weighed heavily on him. For the first time in years, Marcus had no empire to run, no deals to broker, no family to protect. Instead, he spent his days reflecting on the choices that had led him here. He thought of Elijah Daniels, the man who had mentored him and whose empire he had taken over. He thought of his brothers, scattered and broken, and he thought of Sophia, who had left quietly before his trial, unable to endure the life they had built together. One day, Marcus received a visitor, Victor. The youngest Bishop brother sat across from him, his face etched with guilt. "I'm sorry, Marcus," Victor said, his voice barely above a whisper. "For everything." Marcus regarded him, silently, for a moment before speaking. "It's not your fault. None of us were ready for what this life would cost." Victor nodded, tears glistening in his eyes. "What do we do now?" Marcus leaned back in his chair, a faint smile crossing his lips. "You do better, Victor. You get out of this game and build something real. Something that lasts." The aftermath. In the months following Marcus's conviction, Harlem began to change. Nicky Barnes enjoyed a brief reign as the dominant figure in the drug trade. But his brash tactics and greed eventually led to his own downfall. The streets, once ruled by giants like Marcus, became a chaotic battleground for smaller, less disciplined crews. Carter, meanwhile, left the task force to pursue a career as a defense attorney. The experience of taking down Marcus had left him disillusioned with law enforcement, but he hoped to make a difference in a new way. Legacy in shadows. 15 years later, Marcus Bishop was released on parole. The world outside had changed dramatically. Harlem was no longer the neighborhood he had once ruled, and the faces of the underworld were unrecognizable. Walking through the streets, Marcus saw glimpses of his past in the new generation. Young men hustling on corners, addicts chasing fleeting highs, families struggling to survive. His empire was gone, but its shadow remained, etched into the fabric of the city. As he reached the stoop of his childhood home, Marcus paused. He had built an empire, lost it all, and paid the price. But now, standing on familiar ground, he felt something he hadn't in years, peace.